We learn from the agency's website that Arrowhead is the name that literary agent and science fiction writer Virginia Kidd, along with science fiction writer and critic James Blish, gave to their home in Milford, Pennsylvania, when they moved there in 1953. Virginia Kidd wrote poetry and short stories, and she founded the world's first all-science fiction literary agency at Arrowhead. In addition to the expected business of a literary agency, which is, of course, getting books published, as well as having been home to one of science fiction's founders, Arrowhead has been a focal point for science fiction writers for over 55 years. The formation of Science Fiction and Fantasy Writers Association was partially conceived at Arrowhead. Hundreds of gatherings of science fiction writers who were later prominent SFWA members took place there in those early days. Christine Cohen, who has been with the Virginia Kidd Agency since 1998, gave us some background on WVIA's Keystone Edition Arts.
The Futurians started in the 20s and 30s, and then in the wake of the war, after seeing a lot of horrors and also the atom bomb and the horrors that we could unleash on the world, they thought, you know, there's more to this than just imagine what's out there. There's like, you know, we need to warn people and write fiction that's imagining a future, but hopefully a good future, because, you know, we're harnessing incredible power. So that started out in the city, and Milford became the place where you escape to for the weekend. Are you going to Milford this weekend? Became a verb. And yes, I'm going to Milford. And Damon Knight had a big old Victorian mansion called the Anchorage. And the spillover from that went to the Virginia Kidd House. And so from there, Virginia, herself a writer, went from Futurians to science fiction, had a knack, and she would just take everybody's contracts and have a look at them and say, no, don't sign that. Or if you sign this, you need to change this clause. And she did this for enough times that people said, you know, Virginia, people get paid to do this. It's an actual profession. It's called agenting. And so she reluctantly sort of started it. And then when she got into it, she really figured out. She was helping authors. Because you think that once you sell the book and it's done and you have a contract, you're good to go. But there's so much more that comes after it. And I think it was Richard Curtis who said, you know, treat every contract like everybody involved is going to drop dead tomorrow and all of your heirs are going to hate each other. So you have to make sure that it's all lined up, that everything is going to work okay, all your rights are protected. And, you know, if there is a film deal, you're going to be involved in that. It wasn't left for the publishers to take because they will. So because of that, because of the writer's workshop in Milford, everybody came up on the weekends and brainstormed together. Isaac Asimov, you know, Heinlein, James Blish, and Virginia Kidd themselves. Damon was a great writer. And Judy Merrill, yeah. She lived up the road from Virginia. And so...
So this cluster of writers yeah. were in Pike County.
Yeah.
Trying to perfect the craft of writing science fiction? It wasn't a school in terms, or was it a school? Was there a certain
I think we'd call it a workshop or a writer's workshop today. And it was really, the Milford Method is something that's talked about around the world still. And it was as simple as, you know, these are in the days where you wrote on a typewriter and maybe you had one carbon copy. So what you did was on Damon Knight's kitchen door, you would thumbtack the story that was going to be looked at that day. And everybody would saunter downstairs at whatever hour they awoke and read it over their Cheerios or whatever they had for breakfast. And then you would all meet and sit in a circle, and whoever had the manuscript was the person talking. And the author could only say yes or no, couldn't explain away something they'd messed up. And so it became like, you know, a critique, but also a way to expand and learn the craft, because published writers were invited. So it wasn't just from the ground up. People already knew what they were doing. So they learned from it, and they also learned what contracts they could sign.
That's right.
Thanks to Virginia.
Christine Cohen, who has been with the Virginia Kidd Agency since 1998, speaking with us on WVIA's Keystone Edition Arts. Christine Cohen has assembled a panel of master writers, and the panel is titled, Is Your Utopia My Dystopia? That will be one of the many and varied offerings at this year's Milford Readers and Writers Festival, running September 12th through the 14th. We had a visit from Carol McManus, who is an award-winning author, professional speaker, radio host, senior editor for the Mark Victor Hansen Library, and president of Pike Artworks, as well as co-chair of the festival. And Brian Carso, associate professor of history and pre-law program director at Misericordia University, author of the historical novel Gideon's Revolution, vice president of Pike Artworks, and co-chair of the festival. They came with much to share about the authors and presentations scheduled during this 10th anniversary year, but first, picking up Christine Cohen's story, a bit of history.
Milford takes great pride in the fact that this is where writing started, and you nailed it when you said science fiction, because the science fiction aficionados, in fact, the first festival of this kind was a science fiction festival and carried on for a number of years. And then that got moved into and expanded when we started this festival in 2016. So yeah, there's a lot of rich history and a lot of really amazing names of authors who have come out of Milford. We're very proud of that. Tiny little Milford, Pennsylvania.
There's a little garage in Milford that's got a historical marker on it. And I drive by it every Saturday morning as I'm taking one of my kids to violin lessons. And it's where Frank McCourt wrote Angela's Ashes. He was a teacher in the city, but he had a little place in Milford, and he would come up and go find this little sanctuary above the garage. And every time I drive by, I'm just amazed by that. So, you know, there's this history of, there's a connection between kind of the Milford community and, as you point out, Erica, years and years, decades of publishers and writers kind of connected to New York City who would come up to Milford, because it's not that far away, and it was a nice retreat to have some quiet writing time.
Yeah, beautiful area to come to. And this being our 10th year, because we launched in 2016, so this is number 10, including the 2 years that we were unable to do in-person live events because of COVID, but we still did virtual events. We kept the festival going. And now, of course, we're back with a vengeance. But there's always been a uniqueness of this event compared to other, because Brian and I have both been to other book events and publishing events, you know, around the country, and they all serve a valuable purpose. But the original vision for this event we've been very true to, which is an opportunity, a sort of an intimate opportunity to bring readers and writers together, where authors can interact with readers, readers can ask questions, because often you go to these events and somebody speaks from the stage and then they leave through the back door and you never get to talk to them, or you have 30 seconds as you get them to sign their book. And we've tried to create an environment where not only do we bring quality authors, but conversations between authors. And that to me is absolutely one of the distinguishing things about the Milford Readers and Writers Festival that we're very proud of and very protective of.
And you've titled the festival. You don't say it's the Milford Writers Festival. You say it's the Milford Readers and Writers Festival.
Correct.
Yeah, we want the readers involved. I like to say that in our current moment, we talk a lot about artificial intelligence. This is an opportunity to come to a beautiful small town and talk about authentic intelligence, you know, how we read books and long form thinking and reasoning, and we put ideas together and talk about them, have that conversation. And that's what we do.
That's what we do.
And you sometimes have at least threads of a theme, don't you, in the course of the festival, that we might find a day or a set of workshops.
Well, let me give you a perfect example of that, because one of the additions to the festival last year, and we've expanded it this year, is a day that really is just for writers. So it's not the weekend piece of it, but it's the Friday piece for aspiring writers or established writers where they can work on their craft. And this year, just real quickly, we're just covering the muse, how writers find and keep their muse. We have a session on publishing and how to, you know, the trials and tribulations, and most importantly, how people can self-publish if they do not go the traditional route or find it difficult to go the traditional route. We're doing a session on cool new tools, and we're going to talk about that evil thing called ChatGTP and how it can serve a very useful purpose as a partner and research assistant. And we're going to talk about Substack, because everybody's really curious about, why do I need a Substack newsletter? And Pro Writing Aid, and how it helps writers do a lot of self-editing before you put it in front of somebody who's going to put it in the outbasket or the circular file. And then we're going to round the day off with a session on Amazon for authors and how authors can use Amazon to their best advantage.
I think we should mention the event that we had earlier this summer for a new event to just focus on our kind of regional authors. And we had 27 participants.
27 authors
27,
participated.
And it was just wonderful to kind of discover how many people in Northeast Pennsylvania and the tri-state region are writing or taking writing seriously as a, whether a hobby or an occupation of some kind. It was wonderful to see.
And yeah, they were all published, some self-published, some traditional, some hybrid, but they all got a chance to not only meet the public and sell books, which is part of what their goal was, but they also all got a chance to share about 5 to 7 minutes of their reading and read to each other. And that was just marvelous. In fact, when we closed out the session that day, one of the participants said, you know, writing is a lonely, lonely world because you do it alone. And when you come to an event like this and you realize not only how much rich talent and creativity is out there, but also it's a validation that what you do matters and that there are other people doing what you do and that we're in this together. And that was the best compliment they could have paid us.
And each year you have some very significant authors, not just significant mm-hmm. authors from the region, but main stage mm-hmm. authors who are coming in and doing what you say and available for conversation. How about this year?
Well, we're starting off on Friday night. So after the various writer programs about how to write and use Amazon and Substack and so forth, we have a big event Friday night, which is very relevant to our region. So there are two college professors, Kamala Townsend and Nikki K. Michael, who published a book called On the Turtle's Back, and it's a collection of Lenape folklore. And they give it some context, and it's a fascinating read given the history of our region. And they were invited, they're going to do a discussion of that, but we were just thrilled when we heard from the chief of the Delaware nationally, named Brad Killscrow, was really interested in the program, and he's going to fly out from Oklahoma so he can participate in this conversation. So again, tying our region, where we live, and the history of this region.
Of the Delaware tribe. Yeah, and
of the Delaware tribe and the literature of the Lenape people, I think is a great way. We're really mm-hmm. excited to start the festival off with that.
It's really important. And again, as we go into climate change and things like that, people are looking at the indigenous peoples for wisdom. How might we live better?
Yeah, and how we have that conversation through storytelling. I mean, we in 2025 have a particular way of telling stories, but to look at another culture and another historical time and how they told stories and found meaning through those stories really helps us to think about ourselves too.
And we might say that the main stage programs take place in an historic building in Milford, right?
A historic building. The Milford Theater is a beautiful building in and of itself, but it has been totally renovated. In fact, they're still upgrading. I was there a few weeks ago and they were expanding the sound system. They are now full surround sound in the theater. They're doing live productions now. They do a marvelous job. Our little festival this one weekend a year is only a snippet of what they are offering to the community and to the region. They're really making a mark on the arts for Northeast Pennsylvania, for New York, for New Jersey, for the whole region.
And for all that renovation, it still feels like a 1930s theater.
Yes.
When we were meeting in there last week, there's some jazz playing. And I half expected F. Scott Fitzgerald to tap me on the shoulder. And I was kind of waiting for that moment. But it's a great theater.
And so you have more programs there.
Brian said we kick off on Friday night. So let's start at 10 o'clock on Saturday morning. I'm going to ask your listeners, how many of you saw the movie, maybe more than once, called Sleepless in Seattle? The screenwriter for Sleepless in Seattle is the person who's going to be kicking it off on Saturday morning. His name is Jeff Arch. He's coming in from California. But he's going to be talking not just about the screenplay, but about the book that he wrote, about the uphill climb he had going through Hollywood to get that film made. And the book is doing fabulously well. It's going to be a great conversation. What's even more fun is the moderator who's going to be in conversation with him is John DeLeo, who is one of our local luminaries, who is an expert on movies and just everything that has to do with arts and culture. So they're going to have a great conversation at the beginning of the day.
I just want to mention to Erica, my family, we sat down and watched Sleepless in Seattle the other night, and it was great fun to watch that again. But to hear Jeff Arch talk about that process, you know, we see a film and it's the finished product, but how does the creative process take place? And and who else works on all this. And there's a lot to it, and it's pretty fascinating. So I'm really looking forward to that. And then a little bit later in the morning at 11:45, we've got Matt Winkler in conversation with Phil Roosevelt. Now, Matt Winkler wrote a book with Michael Bloomberg on the creation of Bloomberg News. And Matt himself was kind of present at the creation there. So a lot of interesting insights into business journalism, which is certainly important to us today, as it has always been. But we want to understand, how does journalism cover business, and how does something like Bloomberg News work? And how does that, how, like the film, how is that created? How do people put their minds together to make something like that? Journalism has changed so much in the last 15, 20 years. And we, you know, we want to be on top of how that's going to change and how it can be beneficial.
Let me take us back after lunch, because we will give people a lunch break after these two. But when we come back, this one is, I think, going to titillate people in terms of what they might hear and learn. We have Mr. Richard Behar, who has won 20 major journalism awards. He's currently the contributing editor of Investigations for Forbes. He's written for Fortune, Times, Forbes, and others. But his love and passion is to dive into things that have to do with organized crime, and specifically con men in the financial space, and how the cat and mouse game of intellect he played with Bernie Madoff, besides sharing practical investment lessons. So the book that he will be talking about is Madoff, The Final Word. It was from that in-jail interview that he did, and we've titled this program Scoundrels and Con Men. And he will be interviewed by our very own Richard Murray, who is also a well-known author himself and a successful journalist. We know that's going to be a fun, fun session for people with something very different than we've ever done before. A little bit for everybody.
Yeah, and I think Matt Winkler and Richard Behar together really gives us a lot of insight into what we were just talking about, the news and how to understand what's going on in the world, how it news comes around. So, you know, when I was younger, we used to get Newsweek and Time magazine once a week. And now news is instantaneous. And how do we as consumers make sense of journalism and news? And I think there'll be a lot of insights into that from both of these speakers.
And rounding off the day, because we always want to make sure we're hitting on different genres and different cylinders for our group. And this is a woman that we have been trying to get for 3 years now. And this was the year she was finally available. And her name is Adriana Trigiani. And I'm guessing that's going to be a name very familiar to some of your listeners. Adriana just launched her latest book called The View from Lake Como. But she has written over 20 delightful romance novels, New York Times, but multiple times New York Times bestseller, hysterically funny. And just it's going to be a delightful, entertaining session, but talking about something that's a little lighter, but also a genre that is enormously popular with readers. And because we're in a world today where everything on the news is so serious, Adriana's books appeal to everyone because it's just a feel-good kind of read. And we know that that's going to be the end of it. But I also want to go back to what I was sharing with you a little bit earlier about our Authors Awards program, which we did for the first time this year. And we're going to be honoring four recipients for the very first time for the annual Authors Awards given by the Milford Readers and Writers Festival to regional authors. We've identified who the finalists are, but they don't know their ranking. So we're going to be announcing those to the audience right before Adriana's session on Saturday.
This, I'll have to tell you a little funny story, Erica. A few weeks ago, I went into Barnes & Noble to get Adriana's new book, The View from Lake Como, and I didn't see it on the shelf. So I went and asked somebody there, and they said, you're the third person this afternoon to ask for this book, and we sold our last copy this morning. Now, I went back in, and they've since gotten more copies. But that's how popular Adriana is. And there will be an opportunity for book sales and book signings.
Yeah, after every session, they'll be able to buy books, read the authors, get them signed, have a little bit of conversation. Yeah, so that's the theater lineup. But we have other stuff going on around town. Why don't you talk about some of the free sessions that are happening around town?
Back to Friday for a moment. One of our regional favorite illustrators and cartoonists is Bob Eckstein. And Bob will be talking about his new book, which I just got a copy sent to me. I mean, like so many of the books Bob works on, I can't put it down. I mean, it's just both interesting. There's an intellectual side to it, but there's also this whimsical quality that, and the illustrations, the text, I just, when I get his books, I cannot put them down. So I'm excited that Bob will be talking about this new book, Inspired by Cats, Writers and Their Muse.
M-E-W-S. So let's go to the opposite end of the spectrum, because we do not leave the children off of our list either. And we have three programs, actually, two at the library and one at Gray Towers this year. So the two programs at the library are one of our own, Michelle Oram, who has been part of our family from the beginning, just published her latest book called Zen and Now, and it's targeted to young children and how to get them to tune into their self and begin to meditate at a very, very young age. It's marvelous because it's all built around this little possum and what we can learn from possums. So she's going to do a children's reading on Saturday morning. And then in the afternoon, Ryan Balton is coming in and we're doing a program about young journalists, because those of us who have been around this profession for a while are worried that we want to make sure we are mentoring and inspiring young authors. So he's going to be doing young journalists and talking about their program at Delaware Valley and how are they approaching journalism today, and what are they doing in the schools, and what are the futures, and what are the opportunities, you know, for the kids, because we need writers going forward.
Yeah, and readers and writers and amongst our young people. It's easy to get caught up in looking at screens, but we want to get young people in the habit of looking at these wonderful books and writing.
Mm-hmm. So what other session do you want to talk about?
Well, another author who lives locally but is of national renown is David Hicks, who runs the creative writing program at Wilkes University. He'll be talking about his brand new novel, which is just out a couple months ago, called The Gospel According to Danny. So I'm very excited to have David Hicks coming into Milford, and he's going to be doing a program called How to Write a Book You Care About, which is to talk about how authors can stay true to those subjects that really interest them and that they're passionate about, and find a way to write about those things.
And get it out into the world.
And he'll be interviewed and in conversation with Matt Hinton from Misericordia University, who himself is a playwright. And I'm really looking forward to that conversation.
Yeah, that's going to be a great session. And then let's go back to science fiction. We talked about how core that is to Milford's history. Our dear friend Christine Cohen, who is the co-owner now of the Virginia Kid Agency, and anyone who knows that Virginia Kid was, you know, and is, remains the science fiction publisher and agency in the area. And she has put together a panel this year. They always do a great panel, but I have to read this to you. The title of it is Your Utopia My Dystopia? And the way Christine wrote this up was, what may be paradise for some may be for others their worst nightmare. The panel will open with definition of the styles of utopia, dystopia, genre writing, and then explore how the concept may be ideal for some and horror show for others. So it's going to be a delightful conversation. She's put together an amazing panel, and that takes place on Saturday as one of our free and open events. It'll be at the Good Shepherd Episcopal Church. So those who are sci-fi lovers, I know, are going to want to catch that session.
Another session I'd love to talk about, Erica, is a poet who lives in Milford, Chuck O'Neill, who is a terrific poet, is hosting several other poets, and they're going to talk about poetry, the mother of all good writing. Now, why I love that topic is I've taught history at Misericordia for 19 years now, but before that I was a lawyer, and students will ask me, what should I study to prepare for law school? Should it be a government class or this, that, or the other thing? And I begin that conversation by saying you should take a poetry class, because law is all about language, getting the words right, getting the punctuation. There's a famous case called the $1 million comma, that somebody didn't put the comma in the right place and it cost the company $1 million. But language is so important. And I was talking with Chuck not too long ago, and we were remembering what Mark Twain said about the difference between the right word and the almost right word is the difference between lightning and the lightning bug. And that's what talking about poetry, the mother of all good writing, can have us focus on that. So I'm looking forward to that conversation, too.
And I just realized I didn't mention the children's program at Gray Towers, which I think will interest a lot of people. This is very specific. The author is A.K. Shankman, who wrote a children's book called Franklin's Trees, and it introduces children to Franklin Delano Roosevelt's love of nature and the creation of the CCC, the Civil Conservation Corps, during the Great Depression. So they're going to get a little bit of history, but they're also going to learn about trees. And what could be better than Gray Towers as the location for
that's
that? True. So that's going to take place on Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. For anyone who knows or has ever been to Gray Towers, that'll be a delightful, delightful session. So every couple of years, we try to do something that is, for some, might be considered a little offbeat, but it is always one of our packed sessions. And that has to do whether it's the paranormal or UFOs. This year, we're doing a program called Beyond the Veil, The Healing Power of Mediumship. And two very well-known local people, Jackie Geary Santa Croce and Richard Michella, are going to talk about, in discussion, on the healing power of mediumship and how loved ones are only a thought away. And I think that's going to be, again, for someone who either is already involved and committed to that, or a curiosity and wants to know more, this will be a great, great session for them to go to. That's one of our free sessions at the library on Sunday.
And they're each writers, so they...
And they are each writers. All of our presenters are writers. Everybody is a writer. That's the whole idea. It's the written word.
And you mentioned film, and we mentioned Sleepless in Seattle, but there are many filmmakers who make their lives creating documentaries.
And a lot of people don't know how that What goes on before the documentary? Why don't you talk about Joseph Lingad?
Yeah, Joseph Lingad is a writer, director, and producer, and he'll be talking about his 35-minute film festival favorite, Don't Look Away, and how that went from a basic idea to a finished script and a finished film. And documentary is just a fascinating... I'm really looking forward, for instance, to the Ken Burns documentary on the American Revolution that's coming out. But there's so much that we communicate now through visual culture. And it's not just entertainment and Marvel comics at the big theater and so forth, but it's important ideas. And so to see how a filmmaker like Joseph Lingad takes an idea and is able to start from the very beginning to the script, to the film itself, I'm really interested to see how that works.
Absolutely. So for anybody that grew up in the area, they may remember a place called Action Park, known as the most dangerous amusement park. The son of the owner, of the original owner, wrote a book about the story of Action Park. And we've titled this The Most Dangerous Amusement Park, but it's really, and they were known for broken bones, gashes, accidental nudity, one of the most notorious amusement parks during the 80s, so not that long ago. And Andy Mulville Hill is going to be here in conversation with our own Jennifer Ziegler, and they're going to have great fun. So again, anybody who ever went to Action Park as a kid and remembers it, you're going to be right up close and personal with the person who grew up with his dad and helped develop and run that park. So that's going to be a fun one. But why don't you talk about, we have to bring this back to Richard, because Richard Murray served a new role for us. He lives in Milford. He's been a supporter of the festival forever. And last year we had some conversation with him and said, Richard, we would love for you to be more active. You got your book behind you, because we asked several times and he was always working on a new project. And he said, yeah, I would love to do that. I'd love to help. And he's very responsible for bringing some of these people to the table. But he is not to be underestimated at all in terms of his own talent. And he just published a book in the spring called Milford Moons. And why don't you tell him about what that book is about? Because it's just unbelievable.
Yeah, as we were talking earlier about kind of whimsy and a whimsical appreciation of one's hometown in this case, Richard got in the habit of going out at night and taking pictures around the town of Milford when there was a moon out, creating light.
While he was walking his dog.
While he was walking his dog. And then those photographs that he took inspired him to think about the town. He has it's his ancestral home. It goes back several generations. And what a small town means to him, what it's meant to his family members throughout the years. And so he combines these photographs with the reflections, both visual and as a writer, his reflections about small towns. So anyone who has lived in a small town or appreciates where does my family come from and what is my connection to a place would appreciate hearing Richard talk about that.
So people are probably wondering, okay, they just said a whole lot. How do I find out about it? So all you have to do is go to MilfordReadersAndWriters.com, and all of this information will be there, plus how to access times, locations. The five sessions at the theater do have a fee, a modest fee attached to it. You can order those right online, or you can come to any of these free events around town, both Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So come out. We love your support. Milford, if you've never been there, is absolutely one of the most exquisite, beautiful little walk around towns in the area. Great food, great shops. Please support our local stores and shops and restaurants, because as happens in all small towns, they depend on people from both the town but outside the town. And I got to tell you, once you come to Milford, you fall in love with it. You want to go back again and again and again.
Carol McManus, an award-winning author, professional speaker, radio host, senior editor for the Mark Victor Hansen Library, president of Pike Artworks, and co-chair of the Milford Readers and Writers Festival. Brian Carso, associate professor of history and pre-law program director at Misericordia University, author of the historical novel Gideon's Revolution, vice president of Pike Artworks, and co-chair with Carol McManus of the festival. They came to the WVIA studios to invite us to the 10th anniversary year of the festival, taking place September 12th, 13th, and 14th in and around Milford, Pennsylvania in Pike County. And for all the details, milfordreadersandwriters.com, milfordreadersandwriters.com. Again, September 12th, 13th, and 14th, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Many events at the Milford Theater, but all in Milford, Pennsylvania. Many of the events are free. And for all the details, milfordreadersandwriters.com, milfordreadersandwriters.com.